gonna have to pause this for just a second because we have WAR play-by-play guy, Kevin Fitzgerald. Kevin, what was the initial reaction of Coach Bam at this press conference?
Well, as you'd expect, it's normal Boeheim in his usual comedic self, very cheery, and just basically his normal self afterward. You know, we know the technical, we know he got run, and it was pretty obvious that he had a dispute with the final call being a charge on C.J. Fair as opposed to a block on Rodney Hood. And at this point, he said, look, guys, we're 25-2. What am I going to do, go home and cry? Yes, it was a bad call, he admitted. It was a bad call. I thought it was a block on Rodney Hood sliding in late, not establishing position. But, you know, this is not something Coach Boeheim is going to get in a rut about, and that's never been his style. So he was basically just like his normal self. And he was hounded a bit by some reporters afterward about his demeanor and charging onto the court. But, hey, sometimes, I think that was like the first time in 25 years that Boeheim got run. But sometimes you just need to try and light a spark, and at that point, with the technical foul, free throws to come, the game was pretty much over. But judging by, you know, what we've seen, instant reaction, according to analysts and all over Twitter, and from my first instincts, you know, maybe he's pretty much warranted, because that wasn't by any means a clear charge.
Now, Kevin, the guy who was called for the offensive foul, C.J. Fair, really made a great play down the baseline. What was CJ's reaction in the locker room after that really difficult call?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. And everybody reacted pretty much the same way afterward in the locker room. You had a couple guys that, you know, CJ thought he had a play, thought he had a clear path, and thought that was his play to make and didn't really address it. You had a couple guys like Jeremy Grant who pretty much came out and said it was blocked. You know, he said straight up, that was a block, and for someone to just kind of step in, undercut you like that, I thought that was a clear block. And he said, "That's the rule, that's the charge, and it's a play that's up to the referee. You know, it's a judgment call." So not a lot of these guys weren't too happy about it, and neither was CJ, because we know he's the ultimate competitor. We know how hard he competes out there. We know how much he wants to win. If anything, you know, it was probably one of the better plays of the night for CJ, because he had to adjust midair and change to the right hand. He was driving with his left and put it off the glass with the right, his offhand. So it was a great play. And my initial reaction was, I think because that one would have tied it, would have made it 60-all, that I think initially Boeheim was just really upset that it was a great play that got nullified more so than getting that, you know, a perfect look from the opposite side, whether it was a charge or a block or not. CJ was upset. These guys are upset that they lose a game, but they put it behind them, and that's what they did, you know, against BC. They played a good second half, and Duke just played a little bit better tonight.
Talking to Kevin Fitzgerald, who called the game for WAER inside Cameron Indoor Stadium, aside from the last play of the game with 10 seconds left, which really did end the game, were there any other plays that players were a little critical about throughout the second half?
Yeah, I think I know where you want me to go with this one. It's funny that you bring it up because, you know, you had that was a disputed charge block call. You had one on the other end of the floor when Jabari Parker drove into Mike Benajé on the right block, and, you know, he was fouled, got the layup, and then went to the line. It's funny because my initial reaction when I was calling it was, you know, there's an offensive foul. And it was a rule that it was a block and an and-one for Parker. So those were the two questionable calls tonight. And, you know, both of them go against Syracuse. Now, you can sit there and whine that those are the two calls that did Syracuse in, but, you know, Syracuse shot 30% in the first half, and they didn't play up to par in the first half of play. It was a tie game. Neither team separated themselves from each other in the first, and Syracuse didn't hit from outside. So, you know, those two calls are not the only things that did Syracuse in tonight.
Now, Kevin,
Jabari Parker and Duke were, you know, just to finish here for a second, you know, Jabari and Duke, they were the better team down the stretch. They played slightly better. And I think their ball movement, here's what I think is what the key was down the stretch, especially in the second half, because Duke went a lot more with a three-guard lineup with Suleiman and Hood and Cook and sometimes Thornton in there. They moved the ball better around the perimeter. And Syracuse went with a lot of just one-on-one ball, and it was, okay, get it to Jeremy Grant. We got an isolation here. That was kind of the mindset for both teams. And I think the better ball movement led to some open looks outside for Duke, and that's what enabled them to pull ahead and basically keep Syracuse at just at arm's length, you know, 3, 4, 5 points ahead for a majority portion of the second half.
Now, Kevin, Tyler Ennis, he finishes his ball game with 9 points, 6 assists, but by no means was he efficient, going 2 of 13 from the field. He really had struggles at driving to the lane, attacking the basket. What did Tyler Ennis have to say about Duke's really swarming defense, really preventing him from attacking the basket in this game?
Yeah, and I thought he got pretty good looks, and he just didn't hit them. So, you know, it was just it's a different night and a different outcome for Tyler. I think you guys probably got it, one of 10 or 1 of 11 from the field, or 2 of 11, something like that. It wasn't great. And you got to credit someone like a Tyler Thornton, who's a fifth-year, you know, he's a senior, he's a captain. You have someone like Quinn Cook, who was a pretty decent, a pretty good on-ball defender. You got a lot of good, quick guards. And Tyler finished, you know, with an inefficient shooting night from the field. And that's going to happen when you play against, big, you know, guards that can move. I remember talking to him during the non-conference, and when he was just, you know, beating the crap out of young, smaller guards. And I said to him, you know, how much are you looking forward to just playing against a bigger physical guard? And he said, yeah, you know, I don't want to diss the opponents. I don't dig on what we play, but, you know, he was waiting for that. So here's the chance. And he has shined bright in a lot of games, 25-0, speaks for itself. And the last couple, hey, he hasn't. And down the stretch, the ball wasn't in his hands, and he didn't do as much as he normally does with the basketball over the last couple of games. So you can call it, you know, is he tired or not? I hope it's not, because they got to get up and get ready for a game in, you know, less than 48 hours away on Monday night against Maryland. And this final stretch will be the true determination to see how conditioned they are and how well they can play down the stretch, now playing 3 of the last 4 and then including this game, 4 of the last 5 on the road.
Talking to Kevin Fitzgerald, who called the game for WAER inside Cameron Indoor Stadium today, as Duke defeated Syracuse 66-60. Now, Duke is one of the worst teams in defending inside the paint. Rakeem Christmas and Bai Musakita struggled today. What did Bam have to say about his big men, especially with their foul trouble as well?
It's going to happen. And I talked to Kata about it afterward. You know, he pretty much summed it up simply, in my opinion. These two physical teams, and it is a very physical team that you have to play hard for 40 minutes. And this is the first time where he's really been in a lot of foul trouble lately. Rakeem, this is a handful of games now where he has had 4 fouls or close to fouling out. That's something that you got to watch. I don't know if I would call Duke's bigs inside that defensively inept. You know, Parker just was spectacular today on both sides of the ball. He played one of his best offensive games, and he also played well on the defensive end as well. So I don't want to take a shot at the Duke bigs and say, you know, Kata and Christmas could not handle the pressure basically on both sides of the ball. It happened. They had to be physical, because in the first half, Duke was pressing them much more in the paint than in the second. Like I was mentioning, they really moved the ball around the perimeter and took a few more outside shots in the second as opposed to the first. And, you know, you have Jabari that hits 3 from the outside. So they had to play physical. And at this point, you don't have a Daywon Coleman. So that's it. Those are your two bigs. It's going to be Kata and it's going to be Christmas. Sometimes those guys are going to get into foul trouble. How many times did we see it? Jefferson at the free throw line, Plumlee at the free throw line. I think both of those guys more so than Parker, where Christmas would just stick home. He would just sit right above the semicircle and say, all right, Emil and Marshall, if you guys want to beat me, you're going to have to come right at me. And they did, and it worked. So maybe you got to think, if you're Christmas, if you're Kata in the middle, you might have to take a couple steps up. You might have to cheat up a little bit to get those guys at the free throw line, because Plumlee was a monster in the first half. He's getting more minutes and is playing much better for Duke. And if they play this team again in, let's say, the ACC tournament, you know, who knows, NCAA tournament, although who knows if they'd be in the same region or not, you're going to have to think about the strategy of what they do to cover the big man that flashes and gets open at the free throw line, because in the first half, Duke was successful at finding the open slot and then just getting close to the rim, and good things can happen from there.
Now, Kevin, while not many players on the Syracuse team and no one really on the coaching staff is familiar with Cameron Indoor Stadium, one guy who is, Michael Binajay, making his return to Cameron Indoor Stadium. I'm sure he had a little bit of extra juice flowing heading into this one.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty funny. You know, he comes out for warm-ups and you got all the crazies heckling him, and, you know, just in classic Mike Binajay fashion. Just a good kid. He just, flashes a smirk over to the student section. But he was up for this game, and it's not just this game. He's been up for the last handful. He's been up for the last five games or so, replacing the minutes that Bakeda once had to fulfill with his injury. So he's playing close to 20 a game. I think he was over 20 minutes tonight, and he showed that he could play at the top of the 2-3 zone. He played a lot at the bottom. He played the wing as well. I don't think there's anyone who, is more efficient in terms of the hustle on the floor with their minutes, and Benajay certainly exudes that. And tonight, he hits some outside shots. It's only a matter of time before he starts hitting outside shots. You know what was good about Benajay's game tonight was that he hits a three, and then he missed a couple. I think he missed two or three in a row, and he comes back confidently, hits one in the corner, that kept this one close, and that's what you want from him. You want that confidence, because we know the ball is going to be in Tyler Ennis's hands, or it's going to be in C.J. Fair's hands. And how about that extra option of a Mike Benajay taking shots from the outside? I think he finished with, 10 points? So that's a good night for him, and it was going to happen eventually. I just think he works hard. He hustles. He's a good defender. He's on the floor all the time. And the offensive side, it's not that it was coming around. It was always there. But tonight, it worked because he took his shots and he took them confidently.
Now, Kevin, Syracuse facing Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium for the first time in program history. Any news, notes, nuggets? I'm sure you've got some great stories or some great facts from today's game.
This place is loud, man. This place is much louder than
crazy.
The Carrier Dome.
It really is.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to call out some of the fans a little bit. I challenge them.
Ooh.
35,000 inside the Carrier Dome. And it's just the fans, we all know this. The fans are just so far away from the court at the Dome. But this, not just the fans always get up, but the Cameron crazies, this student section, they're organized. They got all their chants. They're loud. They are rambunctious, they are vicious. So a challenge to the Syracuse students. Maybe they can amp up their play, their final home game against Georgia Tech. But, hey, it's a crazy environment, and Syracuse handled it well. They are, they were going to because they're the number one team in the country. They play composed basketball all the time. But, this place is nuts. And it paid off. It worked. It comes out of Duke victory.